Please be seated, won't you? There's something that we say in our speech when something not so great happens, or when we think there is a certain mood. We might say that a pall has been cast upon something. Have you ever heard somebody say something like that? It's a reference to a funeral liturgy. And if you were to come to a service, you would place a pall over what was life and light, both as a symbol of a covering, but also as a reminder of the solemnness of what's going on. If you remember, during Holy Week, we gather on Thursday night, on Maundy Thursday, to remember Jesus' last few moments with his disciples. And as part of that particular liturgy, what we do is we clear the altar of everything. We take all of the beauty, all of the candles, we extinguish all of the lights. And one light in particular, which is over the ombre, which is where we hold the reserved sacraments, we extinguish for the one night of the year. It's lit the entire rest of the year. And sometimes, when you're sort of paying attention to that, and when you're here, if you're used to it, it is shocking. The place feels empty. It can be very powerful. And then the next night, we'll gather and we light the Paschal candle, which we have out for today, the first light of Easter. The sanctuary is completely dark. Not a word is really spoken. And we try to light the candle from Lent or from some other way to remind us of the light shining in the darkness. Anne Lamont is a great writer and someone that I read quite often. And she spoke of the events on Friday, yesterday, I think, saying that as a person of faith, as one who believes, the light is almost extinguished for her. There is a heavy pall over all of us. We really don't want to know more about it. We don't want to pay attention. We don't want to read. We don't want to hear. We don't even want to think a thought. But it's impossible not to. Anne continues in her writing. She says, "I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what I should say or how I should go about my life. Should I go to the Christmas party I was supposed to go to tonight? Should I put up the decorations? Should I do the things I was preparing to do? Should I go about life as if nothing happened?" That pall is there. The darkness is pushing in. I don't know if you paid attention to that verse in O Come Emmanuel this morning. We planned this liturgy weeks ago, and these things sometimes happen, but that second verse of O Come Emmanuel, where it talks of the darkness overcoming, and yet the light is still there. As a person of faith, it's always hard in these moments, because our faith is pushed. Our beliefs are pushed. Our view of the world is adjusted in ways that we don't really want it to be. I don't know that I have a lot of answers or the right words or maybe not the right questions, but somehow I have to think, I have to know, I have to believe that the light is still shining. That there is light pushing this darkness, this pall, all this pain, all this grief that we can hardly imagine, that it's there. We say that God is Emmanuel. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. God is present to us in these moments, in these times of pain. Last night at the 5:30 service, we had baptisms, a 7- and an 8-year-old. Garrett and Amara. Sweet kids, excited about being part of the church. They've come to church on and off over the last several years, and they hadn't been baptized, and they'd read in the bulletin that, you know, you're not supposed to take communion if you're not baptized. And finally asked their mom, said, "Mom, how come we're not taking communion?" Mom said, "Well, we haven't baptized you yet." I said, "Well, let's fix that." And what's great and fun about baptizing children that age is they really take it on. And we met a couple of times, and they studied, and they got ready, and we were able to ask them those baptismal questions last night. That baptismal covenant that we hold so dear. You know, it's kind of funny, having kids that are getting older. The other night, and Riley kind of knows I'm going to say this, I made sure she knew it. We were going somewhere the other night, and she started kind of mocking me. Do your kids ever do that? She's memorized the services. She knows every word of what I say, and she knows all the little different things, and she sort of started, you know, saying it off in a very 12-year-old tone. And I remember my liturgy professor, Bill Adams, talking about being marinated in the faith. It's a great image to think about. And the beauty of that moment when she was doing that is hearing her being marinated in the faith. She knows those words. They are deep in her soul, as they're deep in my soul, as they might be deep in your soul. The beauty of our tradition is in our repetitive prayers, they sort of seep in, and at times they are more important than others. And we begin to kind of pay attention in new ways. If you can grab a prayer book, turn to page, I think it's 301. These are the questions that we asked last night. 302, actually. You can say these with me if you want to. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
Yes.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
Yes.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
To hear these words spoken last night with power and strength out of those children's mouths gave a little light. Listen to those words again. Do you resist? Do you deny? Do you abolish that which is dark? Do you turn to that which is light? Do you accept? Do you receive love? And if we continue in our baptismal covenant, we affirm the faith, and then we ask questions. Will you persevere? Will you be part of fellowship? Will you respect the dignity of others? Will you ask for forgiveness? Will you be present? Will you minister? Will you go into the world? I think we're all hurting in ways that we don't really want to hurt. I think that pall will be over us for a long time. And yet, aren't we called? Aren't we called to be a people of faith in this moment, to not let the darkness overcome us? I think we say this a lot during Advent, but we light the Advent wreath as a reminder of the light of Christ that's coming into the world. Today is Rose Sunday or Pink Sunday. It's a Sunday that usually is characterized by joy. And we light the Paschal candle, even though it's out of character for the season, to remind us of that light of Christ which shines forth in each of us. Anne Lamott continues in her writing and says, yes, I'm going to decorate the house. Yes, I'm going to go to that Christmas party. Yes, I'm going to go and make the presents that I plan to make. Yes, I'm going to go to those places and do the things that I was planning to do. Because the light will shine again. Today on our altar, we have flowers in remembrance of those who perished, and we'll remember them by name in our prayers as a people. And in remembering, we recall their light. As you go about this week, as you go about the months ahead, remember the faith that you were called to. The thing about being marinated in the faith, the thing about being seeped in these words, the thing about the tradition that we find ourselves in is to sometimes recall. Recall and to take it more seriously. You can break bread with someone this week. You can share in fellowship with someone this week. You can resist evil. You can work justice. You can respect another person. You can be a person of faith, even with the pall that's upon us. Do you remember Rachel's grieving? There is a feast right after Christmas called the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And I think we're like Rachel today as we grieve. I think the light is dim, but I think there's still some light. I think our hearts are heavy, but God is with us. I think our faith is needed.